Good morning. Good morning. It is 8:43 a.m. We are here today, December 11, 2015, in the OPA Hearing Room, Suite 907 of the DNA Building in Hagatnyaguan for the continuation of the formal hearing of OPA PA 15009, Horondo Corporation versus Department of Public Works. Presiding over the hearing today are Hearing Officer Anthony Camacho and Public Auditor Doris Flores Brooks. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Tirza Bagana and Michelle Brillante. Will Appellant Horondo Corporation please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning. Joyce Tang for Horondo. My counsel with me is my co-counsel, Mr. Fitzgerald, and our assistant, Ms. Fitzpatrick, and also Horondo representative, Mr. Chen. Thank you.
Will Purchasing Agency Department of Public Works please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Yeah, the Department of Public Works is represented by Assistant Attorney General Tom Keeler. The director apologizes for not being able to attend this morning's hearings. However, we'll be here for the afternoon sessions.
And where we left off yesterday, Mr. Marlowe was on the stand, and never mind, and used as a witness, under oath. And do you understand that, Mr. Marlowe?
Yes, I do.
Very well. And just to summarize, before we went on record, there was a brief discussion between the public auditor and the parties, encouraging them to try to finish today. We were in the middle of Ms. Tang's, hopefully towards the end of Ms. Tang's directive, this witness. And so, Ms. Tang, your witness.
Thank you. Good morning.
If I could address one preliminary item, I apologize. Just an inquiry whether or not Ms. Iriarte is going to be able to question her client.
I would object. She's not a party. He's a witness.
That's correct. She didn't enter her appearance as an interested party. She's merely here as the attorney for this witness, not one of the parties to the case. Okay, so I'm not going to allow her.
That's fine. Am I correct that I can't be discussing it with her also? Am I correct that I can't be talking to her regarding the proceedings?
Okay, well, you can. The attorneys are supposed to talk to each other in cases, but not. Not to instruct the witness on what to testify to.
Okay.
Do you understand that?
Please. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Please proceed.
Good morning.
Good morning.
About whether an extension, Horondo would be entitled to an extension because of the mistake made by Stanley on the review of the ultimate phasing plan submittal. Do you recall?
Yes.
Focusing on that issue, your response was that you didn't think that an extension was warranted for Horondo because it did not impact the critical path. Was that your testimony?
Yes.
All right. And you're familiar with the baseline schedule? Yes?
Yes.
All right, and the baseline schedule is based on the alternate phasing plan, isn't it?
It has the alternate phasing plan, yes.
Right. So the schedule of how they're going to conduct and prosecute their work, which is in the alternate phasing plan, would control the critical path. Would be the information upon which the critical path would be made. Okay, let's strike that. I can see you're confused, and it's my fault. The baseline schedule is based on the alternate phasing plan, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so if there's something that affects the alternate phasing plan, it would affect the baseline schedule.
Not necessarily.
It could. You're going to say no, it doesn't affect the baseline schedule? Is that your testimony?
Could you please let me answer the question,
yes.
Ms. Payne?
If it impacts the critical path.
Okay. Now, isn't the alternate phasing plan driving the baseline schedule? Yes or no?
No.
Okay, that's your testimony.
What do you think? That's my testimony.
Okay, his answer is his answer, Ms. Henry.
Okay.
Move on, please.
And you testified that there are no critical activities. If there are no critical activities are affected, then no extension will be given, correct?
Correct.
All right. When you made a mistake in March, came back 4 months later with 13 items, didn't your mistake impact the baseline schedule? Your mistake on the review of the alternate phasing plan, did that not impact the baseline schedule?
It did not impact the critical path.
Yes. Please answer the question. Did it impact the baseline schedule?
If you can show me I'd have to look at the schedule to see if the question is too big.
Requesting a yes, this is one thing. He's requesting a yes or no answer. So
please answer yes or no.
No.
It's section 108 of the contract supplemental contract terms.
Are you familiar with this section of the contract?
Yes.
Okay. And this contract deals with...
Before we proceed, I'll move to number 88. Mr. Keeler, is there any objections?
Yes.
Please proceed. And Ms. Ariarte, are there any objections?
No, on behalf of Stanley.
Thank you. Thank you. Please proceed.
Okay. I direct you to section 108.03 near the bottom of the first page. You're familiar with that provision?
Yes.
And this section deals with extensions of time, correct?
Yes.
Paragraph 2. When critical path method schedule are used, no time extension will be made for delays or modification that uses available float time shown in the construction schedule. You see that?
Yes.
But isn't it true that your delays, it is Stanley's delays that affected the critical path? Therefore, the delays do not use the contractor's float time. Isn't that true? Yes or no?
No.
The contractor has built in a float time in their schedule, right, for their work. That means what it does is it gives them a little more time for their activities due to delays that the contractor may encounter, correct?
No.
What is it? If you keep, I mean, I think we're trying to keep this thing short, so if you can't, I would ask that you not go into long, long narratives.
Some items have float, and some items do not have float. The float isn't necessarily built in. The float is a consequence for the duration of each activity and how they're performed in a certain sequence.
That's right. And that is the float that's built in for the contractor's activity, correct?
No.
Who is it built in for then? For Stanley to make mistakes?
When you say built in, that's the float that is available. That's what the contract says right here, available float.
Right, but that is a float. The contractor delivered a baseline schedule to you that Stanley approved, correct?
Yes.
And that schedule has different activities at different points in time, correct?
Yes.
And there is a float time. So in case they run behind on something, they have a little leeway, a little flexibility, correct? Yes or no?
No.
So who is it? Is it built in for Stanley's mistakes? Is that what you're saying?
It's not built in. It's a consequence of the durations of the activities and how they're sequenced.
Okay.
Some activities have float. Some activities do not have float.
I understand.
The activities that do not have float are the critical activities.
That's not true. That is absolutely not true, Mr.
Okay, now, Ms. Tang,
right,
you're,
you know what,
testifying there. Can you please ask? I know if you do not agree with the answer, these are things that can be raised on closing.
I would ask that you ask Mr. Killer not to smirk, because the second time he's done that,
and
it's really irritating.
I will state that, I do understand the contention of the parties. And I'm merely trying to maintain decorum here, and I ask all the parties, to remain professional.
Certainly.
Thank you.
I'm just going to make that statement to all the parties.
And I'd like to apologize to Ms. Tang.
Any particular party. Okay.
All right.
Please proceed.
So it is your testimony here that Stanley's delays, which affected Stanley's delays, its mistakes, which affected the critical path, are items that Stanley's delays caused by its mistakes did not use the float time in the schedule. Is that what you're saying?
Could you repeat the question again?
I'm
going to
go on. Exhibit
12,
please.
I'm just kind of interested in the witnesses' answer.
Did you want to add something to your answer?
No, I asked you to repeat the question.
All right. I asked you whether the delays were caused by Stanley. There were delays caused by Stanley's mistakes.
The schedule drives the project.
Right, I understand that. But the alternate phasing plan is the driver, the major factor, the most important document that is the basis upon which the critical path is based. Isn't that true?
No.
Okay, so that's your testimony?
Yes.
All right. And that, so your testimony, because it's not, the alternate phasing plan is not driving the critical path, your testimony is those delays are not Stanley's fault. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that the Stanley revision review did not delay the critical path.
Okay.
In the right.
I mean, it is your testimony.
Okay.
Please go to Exhibit 12. Actually, just a moment, please. I just want to make sure I give you the line exhibit, right exhibit. This is the traffic plan?
Yes.
Correct? And this is submittal 156.001-06, reviewed by Mr. Boss Zembiante on, submitted by Carondo, on January 6, 2015, reviewed by Mr. Boss Zembiante on January 8th. And he said rejected, resubmit, correct?
Exhibit 5, okay, just at least in my binder, Ms. Tan, there is a, when you say advisory submit, you're talking about the
little
red
stamp at the bottom.
The one that I'm seeing is marked no exceptions.
Taken.
Okay, so we have a mix up here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Chris says no exception taken.
And this is for submittal number 156001-03, at least in our exhibit.
I'm sorry. Okay, never mind. I flipped through the page. My mistake. So we're in Exhibit 5, page 1 of Exhibit 5. It's a submittal dated January 12, 2015. And it was revised, reviewed by Mr. Von Sembiante on January 13, received and no exceptions taken.
Yes.
Status, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then go to Exhibit 6. Submittal number 156.001-03. And received, reviewed by you on March 1st, 2015, revise and resubmit, correct?
Yes.
All right. And basically, this is the additional comments that you have.
Yes.
Okay. And this is comments based on the alternate phasing plan. Correct?
I believe so, yes. That's what we're looking at the time.
Okay. And I think yesterday you confirmed that, now you have to go directly to it if you want to verify, that on the March 10th, the middle log, which is exhibit 13, please review that if you like. The review, the initial review on January 13 by Mr. Boston Beyonce does not appear on the March 10, 2015 law, correct? Which is the review. So just so you are clear, the review by Mr. Boston Beyonce is Exhibit 5, and the log is Exhibit 13, review by Mr. Lawson Biante with the status of no exceptions taken does not appear on Exhibit 13. The March 10th symbol log, correct?
No.
Okay.
You're correct. It does not appear.
And again, I think for your testimony yesterday that you have instructed Ms. Anel Gaia to revise the March 10th log, correct?
What she is to do is to, but not to that. What she is to do is to see the log reflect the status of the reviews. So.
And who gave her instructions?
On
to
this.
Let me finish. Okay. Who gave her instructions to delete the review of Mr. Boston Beyonce on January 12th?
No.
So you're saying it's her fault?
No.
She did it on her own.
There was no deletion. The log reflects the status of the review on that day. The status of the review on that day is shown on the last, the review that I performed. That's the status. So it shows the status. There's no deletion.
On March 13th, Mr. Boston Biante performed a review,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
2015.
Yes.
And you just testified that on March 10th, 2015, from the law, it does not appear anywhere in this similar log, correct?
That's right.
Okay. And so it is still your testimony that this is, this similar log, is this similar log an accurate record of all of the reviews with respect to the traffic control time?
No.
Let's go to Exhibit 70. We have that. I'm sorry. It's already in
there.
I'm sorry.
Is that going to be? No. Right here. Yeah. Oh, there you go.
This, on the first page of Exhibit 71, the very bottom, is it Ms. Levaya, the last name? Or Haramel?
Haramel.
Ms. Haramel wrote to Mr. Ramachira, Carander, and she says, please see attached revision to review submittal 636.305-01, GTA approved underground electrical preliminary. Rejected and resubmitted for your record. The submittal was originally given for review status of exceptions submitted on April 14, 2015, which was incorrect. I'd ask you to go to page 3 of this exhibit, 71.
Yes.
Okay. And so you On June 13, 2015, 2 months later, you re-reviewed this submittal, correct?
Yes.
And you gave it a status of rejected and resubmit, correct?
Yes.
And page, the next page after the submittal, which would be fourth page, where the submittal review comments begin.
Yes.
And you set forth the reasons why the review status is being changed from acceptance as noted to rejected and resubmit.
Yes.
You first state in the first bullet, last sentence, since resubmittal is required to review comments EAN and not the current submittal status. So it was a mistake again on Stanley's part, correct, in its review.
It was a mistake and not to tell the contractor that he needed to submit the plans. That what he submitted as a preliminary was conceptually approved. He needed to submit the plans. That was preliminary. It stated on the drawing.
Okay.
He wasn't. So.
But it was a mistake made by Stanley, correct?
It was. The mistake was not reminding the contractor he needed to submit plans, and he wasn't doing it. So we, as part of the. It could have been the status of resubmit the final plan with these notes, or since it was a preliminary plan, he's understood to be resubmitting the plan.
Mr. Marlowe, I'm going to ask you once again for the last time.
Go ahead.
The mistake, the need to re-review on June 13, 2015, by you, was a mistake on the part of Stanley. Yes or no?
So it was a need to revise the submittal based on our mistake on the first review? That's the question?
Yes.
No.
So you're saying that it is Carondo's mistake then. Is that your testimony?
Bullet number two.
No, no. Answer my question,
so yes.
Please.
Yes.
You're blaming your mistake on Carondo.
No.
You're blaming this review. Having to review it 2 months later is Carondo's mistake. Is that what your testimony is
yes.
today?
Yes. Not necessarily a mistake, falsification of this middle.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Let's look at bullet number two.
Okay.
The contractor stated that the submittal was approved by GTA. This is not correct. Information we have received is that the GPA engineering department had not reviewed or seen the submittal at the time it was submitted by Corona's GPA approved design drawing.
Okay.
See comment page.
This time these documents speak for itself.
Right. All right. I apologize.
Okay.
Is that the bullet you're talking about?
Yes.
So you're basically accusing Corona of falsifying documents? Misrepresentation, yeah?
At least what was represented wasn't true.
And what was the basis for making this allegation?
I contacted Carson Sprinkroft to request a meeting with GPA to coordinate this issue, to contact who GPA they were talking to about these plans, because they said it was approved. They came back to me and told me that they contacted the engineering department and no one from Carondo had been speaking to GPA about these, no one was aware of any approval. So at that time, we felt it necessary to look at that and change the submittal to rejected resubmit based on discussions with Carson Frankrock.
Okay. I have here Exhibit 75.
Thank you.
be clear, Mr. Marler, just and based on summarize your comment. You went on the basis of the submittal that said that GPA had approved it. Then you went further, or you or someone went further to confirm that approval.
Yes.
And that's when you found out that GPA had not approved it.
That we didn't find any record of approval.
Okay. And who did you speak to at GPA?
I spoke to Lyndon Kobayashi at Parsons Spring for him. He made the contact.
Oh, you did not directly?
No.
So Lyndon was the one who made the contact and came back to you. So you don't know who he spoke to at GPA?
No, I don't.
All right, thank you.
I have another exhibit 73. Don't mind marking it. At the bottom, the election is 73.
It's not clear to me what 73 is.
The email with the plan. With the plan.
I don't see
the I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
For clarity, this is addressed to an NG Catolis at BBR at teleguam.net. That's not GPA.
But it's from GPA.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
This thing is Nat Catolis.
Nat Catolis is UBR, the subcontractor, who's doing the underground work.
Grandes?
For
Grandes,
excuse me.
Just on both exhibits, I have no objection on behalf of Stanley if he's able to authenticate it or is familiar with these documents.
I'll be happy to ask him a question. Okay. I probably won't use the second one because I was missing the I found the account, so not in that tank. So I'll probably just.
Well, I will allow you to ask a witness about exhibits 73 and 75. Please proceed.
Okay, thank you.
But please lay a foundation for the
website. No problem. Mr. Marlowe, exhibit 73.
Yes.
Okay. I just ask you to go to page. Oh, you can take another page now. Say, you know who Arthur Manzolina from GPA is?
He's an inspector of GPA.
All right. And did he work for GPA? He's a GPA
inspector.
Employee.
Yes.
Okay. And are you familiar, do you know who BBR is?
Yes.
They're the subcontractor doing the electrical work for Carondelet on this project, correct?
Yes.
All right. And so this is an email, and I'll confirm it with you. You see it's dated April 2nd, 2015, right?
Yes.
And attached to it, it says Nats. That's Matt's controller at VDR, attaches the proposed electrical underground system for Billy and GW project. You see that?
Yes.
They came from the same block now.
Yes.
And if you look at the attachment, it's the proposed electrical underground for Billy Brick. You see that? And do what?
Yes.
And do you see on both sheets, there's a GPA stamp on it?
Yes.
stamp on a plan, that means GPA prepared it, right?
Not necessarily. GPA could just stamp a plan prepared by someone else, and somebody else could stamp it.
Oh, okay. So if I prepared something, I could just take Stanley's stamp and put it on. That'd be okay.
That's okay.
Acceptable practice.
It's possible, but it's not okay.
Okay, so that would not be okay, using, like, Stanley's stamp, correct? Because
if,
by putting...
If this came from Arthur, I'm sure that he put the stamp on there, but I don't know if he prepared the drawing.
Okay, so your testimony is that if there's a GPA stamp, that means GPA, Arthur might know to put it there.
Appears to be, yes.
Okay, meaning you would put it there if he approved it.
Yes.
Now, keep in mind that's April 2nd.
Yes.
Okay, 2015.
Yes.
Going back to Exhibit 71, which we were looking at earlier.
Yes.
And I would go to your comments page after this in the middle, page 4 of the exhibit, bullet point 2.
Yes.
This was your comment that you made on June 13, 2015, correct?
Yes.
In your comment, you basically accused Karanda of lying. But that was based, you didn't verify whether they actually got GPA approval, did they? Did you, before you wrote this to them?
Yes, I did.
You checked with Joe Peck, that was your testimony?
No, my testimony was of Lyndon Kobayashi.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lyndon Kobayashi. But you didn't check with GPA and say, did you guys sign off on this plan that has, by the way, let's look at the plan, isn't it identical to what is exhibit, what did I call it? 73. Isn't it this the identical plan that's attached to Art Magnolia's email on April 2nd, 2015?
It appears to be.
Yes, and it has the GPA stamp.
Yes.
Okay.
But it has no signature from the engineering department. And there's no indication that the engineering partner will use it, just a stamp.
So you assumed?
No.
Because you didn't see the signature. You saw the stamp. Did you see the stamp that day?
Yes.
So, but you thought, you still accused Karanda of lying. You didn't see the signature.
No, because we contacted Parsons Brinkerhoff. They contacted GPA engineering department. And as stated, we received information from the engineering GPA engineering department had not reviewed or seen the submittal at the time of the submitted.
Why didn't you call GPA?
Because our contact for utilities is Lyndon Kobayashi.
Was there anything that stopped you from contacting GPA?
Because our contact for the utilities is Lyndon Kobayashi.
Didn't you go to GPA yourself later in June because the issue was not resolved? Do you recall?
No, I don't recall what the GPA was decision.
We'll get to that. In connection with the utilities, underground utilities, did you not ask Karanda to submit a change order?
Yes, we did.
Okay. I would like you to review, go to, give me a minute, please. Exhibit 72. Is that on the desk?
What exhibit is this?
72.
Thank you.
My last page.
72.
Yep.
attaches to Exhibit 72?
No.
Is there anything objection to Exhibit 72?
Not on behalf of Stanley.
Thank you. Proceed with that.
Thank you. I ask you to go to the last page of this Exhibit 72. Read that?
Yes.
Okay, and you see the little red box. It refers to Submittal 636-005-01, submitted by Carondo on April 14, 2015, reviewed by Mr. Senecal on April 20, 2015, given a status of exception as noted.
Yes.
Okay. I ask you to go to Exhibit 14. And go to the last page of the Exhibit 14, which is the middle log dated June 16, 2015. And I ask you to, the last page, I ask you to find the previously reviewed submittal by Mr. Senecal, which was given an acceptance notice.
It's not there.
Okay?
Well, the previous...
Wait, it's not there. That's fine.
Yeah.
Now.
No, it is there. But the submittal's review status has changed. So the same submittal that he reviewed is there, 636.005-01, is there. But the review status has changed. It shows the current review status.
Okay. Just to be clear, crystal clear on your testimony, we were on 72, last page. The review by Mr. Senecal.
You understand? We understand the difference between.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem.
So that
all
is
right,
the answer that.
Is that your answer?
It's updated and it doesn't say exceptions is noted like it did before. We can document
it.
Okay, please proceed.
It's not in here. Exhibit 14. That's your testimony, right?
No, my testimony is what I said. It's the same submittals there, but the review status has changed.
But Mr. Senecal's review is not in this one.
No, it doesn't know his review.
All right. Let's go to Exhibit 37. Request for information?
Yes.
And this is a Carondo RFI number 15 sent on July 10th, 2015 to you requesting information regarding the change order, electrical issue, correct?
Yes.
And in this email, this RFI, we're basically telling you that there's a problem, and I'm just summarizing for the sake of expediency, and please feel free to correct me because I know they're trying to get this done. This RFI, Carondo is asking you that, is telling you that in a meeting with Smithbridge, they found out that the pile driving would not be constructible due to the overhead electrical wire.
Yes.
That's one of the things they said, and that this will affect the swing of the crane boomers.
Yes.
And that when the crane boom swings to do its piling, it will hit the overhead cable, the power line.
Yes.
And there are live lines, right? They have power going through them.
Yes.
All right. And they would like, they said in paragraph 2, they had considered going back to original phasing plan because you had asked them to. You see that in paragraph 2. Do you see that? Carando has an idea in what they're saying to go back to original phase as per instructed by Jack Marlowe Stanley. But we found out that even in the original work, we still have work phases. We will still have the same problem. We cannot drive tiles because there's not enough clearance. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay. So you did ask them to go back to the original phasing plan, even as late as June?
No.
Okay, so you're saying that they're misrepresenting the desired by?
Yes.
Did you ever tell them that they were misrepresenting?
The date of this is July 10th. They were terminated on that date. We didn't communicate with them after that.
Okay. Did they not send a request for major changes of electrical plan letter earlier?
Yes.
Okay. And in that letter, they asked you, look, we've got an electrical problem. We need it fixed. We need a change order. What was your response?
I believe that letter was sent in late June.
Yep.
June 22nd.
Okay.
I don't believe a formal response was prepared. I don't recall.
Oh, give me a minute, I'll find that letter. I don't want you to guess, so I'm just going to try to find that letter. I'll find out in a minute. Okay. So, take you 2 months to do a review of the underground electrical summary?
The original submittal said it was preliminary. We gave comments that allow them to follow up with the real submittal. If it's preliminary, it would be followed up with another submittal. We waited for the submittal to come. I discussed with Parsons Brinkerhoff about meeting with GTA because they would need to approve the final submittal. And he contacted GTA and found that the engineering department had not been contacted about it. So with no submittal forthcoming and finding that the original submittal had not been run through the engineering department with GPA, we decided at that time to revise the original submittal to resubmit, waiting for them to submit the submittal through a preliminary submittal indicates that another submittal is coming. We can review the preliminary with notes that would be incorporated into the final submittal. No final submittal came. We found that the preliminary submittal had not gone through the engineering department, so we changed the original submittal to reflect that it couldn't be approved because it hadn't been approved by the engineering department, the GPA. And they still needed to address all the comments in the original submittal, in their original preliminary submittal, and their actual submittal.
Yeah, but you reviewed the same submittal in April and June. You mean Stanley. Stanley
yes.
Reviewed April and June. And they had the same attachments. So those same comments you made in June should have been made in April. Yes or no?
We could make the comments about the engineering department in April because we hadn't heard back from the engineering department.
You hadn't even called
the
EPA.
Right.
Okay. Now, I ask you to go to Exhibit 36. So this is Carano's change order request on the underground utilities, correct?
Yes.
And then page 2 is GPA's comments. And then the original plan, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever respond to this?
I don't believe so.
Why not?
We've been reviewing it and coordinating it by the time that was coming up, it was nearly done under their contract before a response to the contract was terminated.
Do you recall an instruction to you not to respond to this?
Perhaps.
By Mr. Keeler, maybe?
I don't recall.
Remember this, Exhibit 36. We'll go come back to it. One last thing on this issue. Exhibit 46. Have you seen this letter before? Letter was directed to Mr. Sterling, who is the attorney for the takeover contract, the bonding company, Westchester, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you were responding to Carando's RFI 15, which is Carando's request for information regarding electrical. That you received on July 10, 2015, correct? The date of termination.
So you're saying this is responding to that? This is a with reference to RFI 15. It's not responding to Carando.
Let me rephrase it. It responds to the issues raised in Carando's RFI 15 sent to Stanley on July 10, 2015. Okay. And just so we're clear, the date is September 2nd, 2015, right? The letter, if you look at the second page, there's a date next to the signature.
First day, that's the day, September 3rd.
Yeah, that's the day we received it by Mr. Sterling.
Okay, September 2nd, below. Yes.
Yeah. And basically, you were saying here that you have finally met with GPA, and in the second line, end of first paragraph, we have met with GPA to discuss construction issues near the existing power lines. So notes from the meetings
are
attached.
First page.
Which exhibit is that?
Exhibit 46.
Oh, 46. Yes. There's an objection by Mr. Keeler. Mr. Keeler, what's the basis of the objection?
The letter is signed by Glenn Liam Guerrero.
Yeah, I was going to state, it is signed by,
it's not signed
by Glenn Liam
Guerrero.
It's signed by somebody else.
Copy to Mr.
Marlowe,
by the way. He's a CC.
I'll take it up.
Go to page 3, Mr. Marlowe. And isn't that an attendance sheet of a meeting at GPA on August 26,
2015? Yes.
Okay, and you were there. You're the first person that signed it.
Yes.
Okay, so this was Was this your first meeting with GPA over the underground issue?
It's not underground issues, overhead issues.
Excuse me, the electrical issues.
Yes.
Okay. Yes to the electrical issue or yes to the first meeting?
First meeting with GPA regarding that issue.
Okay. Why didn't you try to have a meeting with GPA in April 2015 when it was raised by Karanda?
That was raised by Karanda on July 10th, 2015.
Okay. So, can we go back to the underground Exhibit 71, I think there was a containment, not containment, 70. We knew about this from the application. They were setting up, the submittal, they were asking you in April to get permission to underground. If you had concerns, why didn't you set up a meeting then? How about, did you do that?
What are we talking about? I don't understand 70. The question. So
Exhibit 70, Karanda submitted a submittal, right? For underground utilities.
Yes.
To address the electrical issue. Did you organize a meeting with GPA then?
No. This is
when you did your revision, Exhibit 71, in June, did you set up a meeting on June? On June 13, 2015, did you set up a meeting with GPA?
The revision?
Yes or no?
No.
The
I
first
understand he's already testified
okay.
The fact that I believe August for this meeting, which you point out in Exhibit 46, was the first time he spoke to
but
GPA concerning
the overhead
this issue.
It's the first time the overhead issue is raised.
I'm just trying to clarify with this tag.
Okay, thank you. Move on. Are you aware of the OSHA issue, clearance issue?
Yes.
Okay. And are you and that you had to be, the cranes had to be within 20 foot of a live line. I'm simplifying it. I'm not an electrician or engineer or anything, but the cranes cannot be within 20 foot of a live line, correct?
No.
Oh, what is it?
10 feet.
10 feet of a live line?
Yes.
Okay. Can I direct you to Exhibit 82.
Keeler, any objections to Exhibit 82?
None.
Mr. Arthur?
Yes, I object. This is from a company. I don't know if Mr. Marlowe is familiar with this document, and so I would reserve an objection if he's not able to authenticate it.
May I ask this thing? Where's this document from?
This was actually something we got online, and it confirms that basically OSHA has a new 20-foot rule for any lines over 50. The OSHA basically concluded that the old 10-foot rule is not effective, and now it's 20-foot for safety reasons. And
okay,
using to ask questions about the company, but it's just a question of whether he knows about the new OSHA rule.
Okay, but I do believe that some earlier witness testified to the same 20-foot requirement.
20-foot? Okay.
All right.
Okay. So, Mr. Marlowe.
Anyway, I'm going to overrule your objection for now. Okay. Please proceed.
Thank you. Mr. Marlowe, are you aware that the law has changed and it's actually a 20-foot rule that OSHA now requires that equipment be no closer than 20 feet from the power line?
I'm not sure that this book this says.
Not sure.
So I have to. What I'm familiar with OSHA is a three-part rule, and this is discussions. And on option three, on the last, on page three of this, it doesn't discuss option three. This is a discussion of the OSHA rule, not the OSHA rule. And it leaves out the option three. And I believe option three was that you could work between 10 feet and 20 feet with certain safety standards
okay.
and certain safety rules. So that was my understanding, and I don't see from a brief review of this document that this has changed.
Okay. I know it's a brief review of the document, but at least for my edification, if you look at the second to last page of the document, the second to last paragraph that talks about option three.
Uh-huh.
Is that the option three
yes.
you're referring to?
Yes.
Okay. Just proceed, Ms. Tang.
Okay. So when you made decisions for reviews regarding the underground lines, electrical issues, it was based on the assumption, your assumption, that the OSHA 10-foot rule applied.
The information I have
yes
available.
Or no?
Yes.
Not true.
Okay, I'm also going to make a ruling on Exhibit 82. It essentially is correct. It's not the OSHA rule. It's merely a discussion
okay.
concerning the new OSHA rule.
All right. So, Mr. Marlowe, the electrical problem that Carondo has encountered on the project are the same problems that any takeover contractor, in this case Cortec, would have to deal with, correct? Yes or no?
It's the same electrical system they have to address.
Same issues?
Yes.
All right. To the extent that there are issues with the bridge load, the ability of the bridge to take certain loads, those would be issues that Cortec would have to address as well.
Yes.
Do you agree that in June of 2015, the electrical issues was driving the construction? Meaning, if that didn't get resolved, it couldn't start work, the final work, that is, not final work. Is that yes or no?
Yes.
Do moment to review this email.
Any objections?
Most of the way through it, I would say no.
All right. Ms. Iriarty, any objections to Exhibit 89?
Not on behalf of Stanley.
Okay, please proceed to Stanley.
Thank you. Mr. Marlowe, have you had a chance to review this exhibit?
Quick review.
And the series of emails, the last 1, 2, 3 pages is the, I guess it was the June 26, 2015 draft of the notice of default to Grando.
Yes.
Okay. So working backwards, I'm going to work backwards from the earliest date of the email. It might be helpful if, I didn't do this, there was the numbers, page numbers on them? Handwritten on the corner? Did I do that?
No.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So let's start with the last page. So 1, 2, 3. And then we start with the last email, which is sixth page from the last page, the second page. The email.
I'm just saying the document pretty much speaks for itself. Is there any portion of the document?
I'm going to go through and search the highlighted area. Can I ask if I thought I wrote numbers on the bottom right hand corner?
Does not have any numbers on the bottom right hand corner.
I'm sorry, then it's my, but I did highlight them, right?
So there are highlights.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the email from Tom Keeler dated May 7, 2015 to Glenn DeAnguero. Do you see that, Mr. Marlowe?
Is there a highlight on that page?
Yes.
All right.
It's the last of the highlighted pages.
Okay. From Tom Keeler.
The
one?
Yep.
Okay.
And it's sent at 7:30 a.m.
Okay.
And you were copied on this email?
I don't see
yes.
Being copied for it.
Yes.
Okay, did. Then, yes.
All right. And the first paragraph says, this is a policy.
No.
Yes,
I'm sorry,
are.
I'm not copied.
Yes,
that's,
you are.
That's not my email address.
Okay. Jack Marlowe and Parsons.
No.
Is there another Jack Marlowe?
Not that I know of.
Okay, but that's not your. Okay, I'm just trying to clarify that. Mr. Marlowe is.
That is your.
So, anyway, do you
Marlowe Jack at StanleyGroup.com.
Okay, do you have an at Parsons?
No.
All right.
Okay, maybe it will help because you did receive. If you look at the page before that in the bottom, Mr. Peck forwarded to you, wrote to you, and said, Jack, would you write something up?
Okay.
So you
yes.
Did get it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
So I obviously don't want to ask you about something I don't know. All right. So we're going to back to the email of May 7, 2015, 7:38 a.m. Right. It refers to a follow-up meeting where it was agreed that a meeting would be scheduled in Carondo, and at the end of the meeting, we remained unsatisfied with Carondo's responses and would be provided other termination. And is it your understanding, in the next highlight below, that the basis for terminating Carondo would be, and this isn't a quote, that you have to DPW has to have a reasonable belief that there is, quote, no reasonable likelihood the contractor could perform the entire contract effort within the time remaining on the basic for the contract performance. Is that your understanding of the basis for termination?
That's what it says, yes.
Yes, you agree?
Yes.
Okay. And in the next paragraph highlight, based on my understanding of the facts, the department can reasonably conclude that Corona is not able to complete the contract within the contract period. You see that?
Yes.
As of May 7, 2015, did you agree with that statement? Yes or no? Do you agree or not?
In May 7th, at that time, I probably would have considered giving them additional time.
Okay. Based on what?
There was still more time available in the contract. It was still a little bit early at that time.
Okay.
Let's repeat that for clarity. Mr. Morrow, you just said...
At the beginning of May, I believe, if I recall, at that time, I felt that there was... if the contractor improved his management and performance, it would be possible to complete the project in time. So I couldn't say at that time that I completely agreed to that statement.
Okay. And this is not taken to any extensions that Carondo could have sought for the mistakes made by Stanley. This is just purely on other matters, extensions based on other matters.
Based on Carondo's performance.
Okay. That's it. Let's go to two pages before that email. And in the middle of the page is an email from you, dated May 7, 2015, at 3:45 p.m. to Joe Peck, Derek Lehman, Buster Anderson. Do you see that?
Yes.
And there's a highlight. You're basically saying that Carondo has 327 days remaining on the time for completion. And you said that, as I stated at a meeting yesterday, I do not believe that we can say there's no reasonable likelihood that the contractor could perform the entire contract effort within the remaining time. That's what you said at the meeting?
Yes.
And that was a meeting on May 6th, right?
Yes.
Because it was the day before. Do you recall that meeting?
Yes.
Who was there?
I don't recall, but the likely people would have been Tom Keeler and Joe Pack, somebody from Parsons.
Would DPW GM, not GM, director be there?
Perhaps.
Was this a GTG meeting?
GTG?
The Guam Transportation Group meeting.
It was a meeting at DPW.
Oh, it was just for this particular issue?
Yes.
Okay. Next sentence. In the same exhibit, the surety will have considerable financial incentive to pursue a claim for termination for owner convenience rather than contractor default. Why did you say that?
Because if you terminate early, when you don't give him an opportunity to cure, if he doesn't give an opportunity to cure, then that's not correct. You should give the contractor a chance to fix his problems.
Okay.
Give him some time.
And then next paragraph. I am reviewing the contract terms for potential breach of contract in other areas. I will summarize and forward when done for your consideration. DPW may be able to include breach of contract in the grounds of termination. A breach may be more supportable than failure to complete within the contract period. Those were your words.
Yes.
So, as of May 7th, you believe they could have completed, correct?
I believe you couldn't say it was impossible to complete.
No, what you stated here, there was that you cannot say that there's no reasonable likelihood. There's no, they could have completed the project.
It's possible.
Yes.
Yes.
And because you couldn't terminate on that basis because the surety would have the basis for getting an exoneration of the bond on the ground and getting a termination for convenience, because you wrongfully would have terminated Carondo, correct?
That's not what it
if
says.
If he had done
it
that.
It says they would have that possibility.
Okay. And then, so you started looking for other breaches. Was that your idea? Or did someone else tell you to look for breaches?
We were looking at the contract performance. We were looking at the termination issue. It covers several areas. So we're looking at all the aspects of termination, what the contract says about it.
When you say here, I am reviewing the contract for potential breach in other contract areas, was that your idea? Whose idea was that?
I believe the consensus of the group was to review the contract with regard to the contractor performance and grounds for termination. I don't recall any one person coming up with that. We're looking at the contract.
And why would you say a breach may be more supportable than failure to complete within the contract period?
A breach can be very black and white, and there's no question. If some point of the contract is breached, it can be black and white, whereas how much time it will take to complete is a little more subjective.
It's easier to terminate, isn't it, on a breach?
Can be.
Okay. Let's go 2 pages before that. 2 pages 4. And it should start with quotes, and email quotes and highlight.
Okay.
And then just so you know who it's written from, you go to the previous page. Earlier, 1 page 4 is the June 23rd, 2015 email.
Perhaps you can just ask the witness if he recognizes the document or email.
I just want to make sure everybody's on the same section. That's I apologize for no pages. So this email from Tom is dated June 23rd, 2015. So we fast forwarded almost a month and a little month and a half, right? From
yes.
The main email, correct?
Yes.
And it says here, he reports after conferring with Rochelle. Who is Rochelle?
She's with the Federal Highway Administration.
She's the big boss.
Yes.
We thought it best to overhaul the original letter and make it a notice of default. What is the original letter he's talking about?
I do not recall.
Could it be the contractor performance analysis that you were preparing?
I don't recall.
Is that possible?
I don't recall.
Okay. And the next sentence, the notice has been streamlined and eliminates any number of facts supporting the director's decision.
I apologize. Where are you? I've lost you. What page?
It's from the front.
No. Just give me a date. Just give me a date.
It doesn't, okay, in the middle of the page it says May 7, 2015 at 5:10 from Dr. Anderson. On the top there's a highlight.
And to who?
It was from Tom Keeler to Jolene.
After conferring with Rochelle?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Jolene is an employee of DPW, correct? Is that your understanding? Is Jolene, is that your understanding, Jolene Aqua? You know, is an employee of DPW?
Where's her name?
On the next page.
Previous page, yeah. It says Jolene Aquinina.
Yes.
Okay. So, back to the email where it says folks from Tom. You see that?
Yes.
You for clarity, who is Jo? What does she do?
Do you know what she does, Mr.?
No.
Jolene Aquinina. Aquinino. She has a DPW address.
Yes.
Okay. So back to the email where it says folks. Mr. Keeler reports, after conferring with Rochelle, we thought it best to, one, overhaul the original letter and make it a notice to default. Your testimony is that you don't know what the original letter is, correct?
No, it's not shown.
Okay. So, could it be the contractor performance analysis?
I don't know of any contractor performance analysis, but I don't know.
Okay. Don't recall drafting one?
Not in May.
This was a communication on June 23, 2015. And it should be clear, on the previous page, the email begins there. It says June 23rd, 2015, at 11:57 a.m. from Mr. Keeler.
Perhaps something in June, yes.
Yes.
It was something prepared in June, yes.
The contractor for performance analysis.
Yes.
Okay. And then the second sentence says the notice has been streamlined and eliminates any number of facts supporting the director's decision. So basically, the facts were taken out of the notice of default. Is that what this is saying?
Is it the supporting facts? Yeah, that's what it says.
Is that what it said?
Yes.
Do you know why it was taken out?
No.
Do you agree with that decision? Yes or no?
Yes or no?
Not applicable, not by decision.
I'm asking you, do you agree with this decision to take out the facts to support the notice of default?
No opinion.
Okay, Ms. Tang, I don't think he drafted. I think he went over the drafted the notice of default. I don't think
that's
he mentioned it. He was the author of that document, nor did he sign it. I think we went through great lengths in prior.
He commented on it, Mr. Camacho. He was part of the commenting team. So he could have an opinion. So I asked that.
You can ask him what his opinion is, you know, on the team, but you know, in terms of this email, which he didn't draft either.
What was your decision on the team with respect to this, the deletion?
I wasn't part of the team. They sent me some copies of things to review grammatically and factually, but I didn't draft these letters.
You didn't? Did you agree with the decision?
That wasn't part of my review.
That's not the question, Mr. Morris. Did you agree with the decision to delete the facts supporting the notice of default?
Well, was it my decision to agree or not to agree?
Objection on response.
Yeah.
I don't think he's aware of what the facts that were deleted are. You're asking him and looking at the method of questioning, right? It's not clear what facts were deleted, Ms. Tang. I think you're asking the witness to speculate greatly.
Okay, I can tie that up. Okay, in the same token, the third sentence, the contractor supporting analysis not needed, at least not for purposes of this contract for this notice of default. You see that?
Yes.
And you had taken the lead in drafting the contractor supporting analysis, correct?
Yes.
All right. So you know exactly what they're talking about in this letter, in this email.
Yes, I know.
All right. So the decision that this contractor's performance analysis is not needed for the notice of default, do you agree with that decision?
That statement that says, in the same token, the contractor supporting analysis is not needed, at least for the purposes of the notice of default. I'd say yes, I agree with that.
Go to the previous page, the forward one page, or go back, or go forward one page. Your email dated July 23, 2015, to a group of people, copying Mr. Keeler. The question you asked, we want to send a separate response to several claims Corona has made for time extension.
Yes.
Do you see that?
Yes.
What was the basis for the time extension that Corona was seeking? As of June 23, 2015.
They talked about permits that I recall.
Did they not ask for an extension because of your late review, the mistake you made on March 1, 2015?
Not that I recall.
You're sure about that? Is that possible?
Possible. I don't recall all their letters.
In response, okay, the going forward one page, June 22nd, 2015, Michael Lanny to the group, company, Mr. Keeler says, if Corando has made a formal claim for time extension, the answer is yes. You see that?
Yes.
So he's basically saying you need to respond to that, right?
No.
What is he saying?
He says if Corando has made a formal claim for a time extension, yes.
Oh, he's answering the question.
And it says if they had just suggested in writing that they are behind schedule due to various reasons, there should also be a formal response also.
Okay. Let's go one page forward. I have attached a draft report to Rochelle from you, dated June 24, 2015.
I just ask the witness, coming back to the other highlight, Mr. Marlowe, Did Karanda make a formal claim for time extension prior to this hearing?
No.
Okay, they're just stating if they have. Would that be fair to say?
I'm just
trying to understand what was your understanding of this this email from Mike Wang concerning if Karanda had made a formal claim for time extension?
If you submit a formal time extension request, the contract outlines what that entails. There's specific instructions on how to submit a time extension request. They did not do that.
Okay, so to your knowledge, as of June the 22nd, 2015, did Karanda make such a formal claim for time extension?
No.
Thank you.
Along that same line, then, I have to disagree. At least I'm confused. Let me rephrase. I am confused. Mr. Marlowe, could you turn to Exhibit 36 in the binder there? And this is a letter from Ms. That letter is dated June 22nd.
Yes.
Okay. Was this letter ever responded to by DPW in some fashion or form?
I do not believe so.
Is this letter a letter for time extension? What is this letter? In your own, getting this letter, how should DPW have pursued the contents of this letter?
Can I give a little bit of background on this?
Sure.
The alternate phasing plan shown, presented by Karanda and intended to be used by Karanda, required the changing of the electrical plan. It became apparent as time went on that what they wanted to do would require them to revise the plan.
Right.
And it wasn't due to a problem with the contract drawing. It was due to the method they were using, their alternate plan required it to be changed. We informed them once we determined that it would be a change of the electrical drawing, because it was their alternate plan, that when their alternate plan changes the electrical plan, they need to submit a new electrical plan. DPW has an electrical plan that works, and they're happy with their plan. If Karanda wants a new plan, Karanda is responsible to bring it in. And because it changes the contract drawings, it has to be a change order, because they have an agreed price for the electrical work that has to be paid, and you can't pay them for work that they don't do. So it would have to be agreed with a change order and new prices what the work would be. And DPW, with a change of this sort, DPW would be saying, well, our plan works, we're not going to pay you more money, and they might pay them the same money. So this is required per their alternate phasing plan, construction phasing plan. It's part of their alternate construction phasing plan. And as part of it, they have to submit a change order request.
The way I've understood things so far, they initially were going to go underground into a bed, or do it underground, as opposed to relocating overhead. Then time passed, and then they decided to go back to overhead. Is that correct?
Well, initially they didn't indicate how they would do it. Huh. And that's when we reviewed it in February and sent the revisions in March, and saying that you have to submit something if you want to change the plans. You can't just build whatever you want. If you want to change the plans, you have to show us what you're going to do. That was part of the review in March, and they weren't providing it. And they'd indicated in discussions with them that they were going to change the contract drawings. So part of the review comments were on item number 10 was that you need to submit drawings of what you want to do with the electrical lines. And then in April, they said we want to put the lines underground. That was in April. And then so the issue of putting the line underground was because the way they wanted to do the work couldn't be done for their plan with the electric lines overhead. So they wanted to put it underground. So it was by June now, they submitted this change order request saying, okay, we want to change the electrical drawings to match our alternate phasing plan.
And this request of June 22nd is still to go underground or overhead?
It was to go underground.
This is still to go underground.
Right. When the discussions earlier about the conflicts overhead and the reason why they wanted to go underground was because to go overhead and build all of the piles at one time, which was their plan, would conflict with the overhead power lines. So their plan conflicted with the overhead power lines, causing them to go underground. And that was their solution to the conflict that was there in their plan. So this was their plan.
Not okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sure. Isn't it the original plan that had a conflict, which is what necessitated the underground solution?
No.
Okay. We'll address that on our exhibit. I'd like you to go to exhibit 25. Put your finger on that. If you have something, you can kind of save that page. So you don't have to. Okay, thank you. So put your finger on that and then go to exhibit 25. This is Carando's letter responding to you can have his letter 23. And I asked him to go to page 3. You've seen this, right, before?
Yes.
All right. And top of page 3, number 2. Page 2, excuse me. Number 2 on page top of page 2. They're responding to DPW's allegation that Carando took no action at the MTC and that the delays, this is a letter responding to schedule delays. And I'd like to ask you, the item in number two is the construction phasing plan. The date submitted was October 27, 2014. It says November 4th. That an exception is noted, and then on March 1st, you revise and resubmit. So, Carando did notify you that they felt that your re-review of March 1st, 2015 was a reason for delay. Is that not correct? And this was on April 27, 2015. Yes or no?
No.
All right, going back to exhibit 89, when we had the finger. And we were in the middle of the page, let's just count them again. 1, 2, 3, 4. Page 5. From the front. Email from you to Rochelle Takara, correct? Dated June 24, 2015.
Yes.
And you attach a draft report that you submitted regarding Carando's performance. Is that the contractor's performance analysis?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what exhibit are we on, please?
I'm sorry, 89.
89, back to you.
Thank you.
Next sentence is this.
Okay, wait, what part of 89 are we
on? Okay, we're on page 5 from the front.
Okay.
The email
okay.
To Rochelle from Jack Marlowe. Second sentence of that email says,
Section 4 of the report, that is your contractor's performance report, addresses the delay claim. You see that?
Yes.
Okay. And then you told her, the thought was to send the report with the Carondo letter, draft attached. It appears that has changed. So are you saying here that the idea was to send a contractor's performance analysis, which report, with the letter of default? Is that what is you're saying here?
That was my thought, yes.
And you say here, it appears that has changed.
Yes.
What is your recollection of how that changed?
The previous email says that the draft letter removes the reference to those items.
You're referring to the email between going three pages afterwards between Tom Keeler reporting his conference with Rochelle, saying we're going to delete the facts supporting the notice of default.
I believe that's what it is.
That's what you're talking about. Okay. Going back to that email of June 24, 2015, between you and Rochelle. Therefore, we probably should revise Section 4, that is of your report, correct? Your contractor's performance report, to become a letter to Carondo addressing their delay claim.
Yes.
Correct? So what you're saying is that you're basically saying that the letter should have facts, the facts that you have in Section 4 of your contractor performance analysis.
No, it's just a letter. When you say the letter, you're referring to...
I'm sorry, a letter, right.
This is a letter.
That's fine. Is it yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. And just to be clear, we know which letter you're talking about. I'm going to the last three pages of this Exhibit 89. This is the draft notice of default, right? For the June 26, 2015.
Yes.
And in this letter, there are 12 items enumerated, and these are all just sections of the contract and law, correct? No facts.
There's some other statements there, but there's no other lengthy supporting documentation.
Okay, yourself, right?
Yeah.
All right. As of June 24, 2015, did you agree with the department, DPW's decision, to send a default letter without supporting documents?
Role of the reading.
Did you have an opinion?
Oh, I'm sure I have an opinion.
What was that opinion?
That they could do whatever they wanted on it. It was their decision.
Did you have an opinion as to whether they should have done it?
They were given options. Which option they choose is whatever they want.
Do you have an opinion?
I would have sent more information.
And you would have done the right thing.
No, I would have done my thing.
That's okay. My thing is fine. Let's move forward one page. There's an email from Tom Keeler, dated June 24, 2015, to you, right?
Yes.
He says, second sentence, upon further review, I don't see a response to Carondo's May 12 letter. And then he says, the May 12, 2015, is that the submittal?
I'm sorry. The document speaks for itself.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask him a question.
I'm
almost at the five minutes.
You said you were almost done almost 40 minutes ago.
Okay, I apologize.
Please proceed.
Mr. Marlowe, the second sentence, you're familiar with the submittal?
Yes.
The 5-step. What is this submittal? This a recovery schedule?
Yes.
All right. This is submitted by Carondo.
Yes.
And this is what DPW has asked Carondo to provide. The recovery schedule.
Yes.
So page 134, you responded to his email, correct?
Yes.
And your response was that the recovery schedule, submittal 155005-02, was returned, exception as noted, on May 12, 2015, correct?
Yes.
But that's a typo, or it's not correct, because actually you responded, Stanley actually responded on May 28, 2015, from Mr. Senegal. Isn't that correct?
I don't know.
I'm happy to refresh your recollection, if you'd like to look at Exhibit 10. So, yes, please go to Exhibit 10. That's in the little red box in the corner, page one.
Yes.
So that was incorrect date. Stanley actually responded to the recovery schedule near the end of May. May 28, 2015, not May 12.
When you say the recovery schedule, it's
submittal 155.005-02, exhibit 10.
This is a monthly update of their schedule. That's what it shows.
I understand that.
The product schedule as of March 31st. When you say, so yes, it was this March update of their schedule was responded to.
Please answer the question.
Repeat the question.
The May 12, 2015 review date on the exceptions note is incorrect. Stanley actually reviewed it and responded on May 28th,
yes,
near the end of the month.
Yes.
Go to one page four. Would be second page. I'm sorry. We're back to Exhibit 89. We're on page two of Exhibit 89. This is an exhibit. I mean, an email from, I believe, Mr. Keeler to you, right?
Yes.
And he says, he's asking for additional information regarding the draft. He thanks you for the draft of the contractor's performance analysis, but tells you that they're going to issue a notice of default, right?
I'm not sure which draft he's talking about. Draft and the design test.
The contractor's performance analysis draft.
I'm not sure. It could have been a draft letter, so I don't know.
Is there any other draft you were circulating of the notice of default, other than the notice of default from this chain of email?
There may have been a draft, something on the schedule. Back on the previous email, it says we should probably revise Section 4 to become a letter to Carondo addressing the delay plan. There could have been a draft of that.
But the draft of that...
We were in specific language you're talking about.
On page 2 of Exhibit 89.
So, just from what it says, I can't tell if there wasn't another draft.
But Section 4, you testified that there's Section 4 that was the contractor performance analysis.
Section 4 was the section on the delays schedule. So there could have been a draft letter addressing only to those. That's a possibility. So
okay.
When it says draft, that's all it says is draft.
Okay,
so
that's fair. The next paragraph, he says he needs you to provide the correct percentage of contract time and performance in this language below. So as of that date, June 25th, 2015, Mr. Keeler in drafting determination of default, didn't even know the correct percentage of contract time in performance for purposes of defaulting and terminating Caronda. Isn't that correct?
He had to perform the calculation. Apparently, every day it changes.
Answer the question. Yeah. He did not know, which is why he was asking you to confirm your percentage.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Page one. DPW, in this email, the highlighted portion, refers to, Mr. Keeler refers to Carando's June 22nd letter requesting major changes to electrical plan. And I think the OPA, the public audit just asked you about that, right? The June 22nd, I believe that's Exhibit 36.
Yes.
Remember that. He basically is instructing you, DPW will not be responding independently to this request. He gave you instructions not to respond to Exhibit 36. Is that not correct? Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes.
As the CM on this project, you should have responded to the June 22nd RFI. Isn't that correct?
We're not talking about RFI.
Answer the question, please. It was your job as the CM to respond to the June 22nd RFI. Isn't that correct?
There is no June 22nd RFI.
Go to 36. I'm sorry. Changes for change order. My mistake. It was your responsibility to respond to the June 22nd change order. Isn't it correct?
That would be preparing your response.
But it was your responsibility, yes. Correct?
Yes.
In the next sentence, he says, instead, language will be added to the notice to acknowledge receipt of the letter and to request that Caronda reference or otherwise incorporate the request into its response to the department's notice of default.
I object. That's actually the third sentence, not the next sentence.
Do you know which section I'm referring to?
I am. Okay, so there's... first of all, which page? Yes, I'm just standing in.
Page one.
Page one. Oh, okay.
The second sentence starts, unless you want to handle differently.
I'm going to have to sustain that objection this time. Could you please rephrase
what
question?
Was the objection? I read that.
While you said the...
I see.
Yeah,
I see. It's the third sentence.
Okay.
All right. The third sentence says, instead, language will be added to the notice to acknowledge receipt of the letter and to request that Caronda reference or otherwise incorporate the request into its response to the department's notice of default. So he was instructing you, the CM on this project, to not respond to the change order request, Exhibit 36, but instead that language will be added to the notice of default to Caronda and let Caronda respond to the notice of default. Is that were those instructions given here? Yes or no?
Yes, those instructions are given.
Okay. Who is your client?
DPW.
Who has the authority to give you that kind of instruction?
DPW.
Who at DPW? A person, please. Would it be the contracting officer, Mr. Marlowe?
Yes.
And that would be Mr. Leandro, correct?
Yes.
Did Mr. Leandro give you those instructions?
He signed the letter.
No. Answer my question.
No, he did not.
Just for clarity, okay, on this email from Tom Keeler, it's addressed to Buster Anderson. Who is Buster Anderson? It's not addressed to you. You are copying Mr. Marlin, but it's addressed to Buster Anderson. Who is Buster Anderson again?
He's the PTG manager, construction manager.
And what would be his role?
Can I give a little explanation? We worked as a contractor or consultant for the DPW. And when the information comes in, these requests, like that request from Caronto, gets directed to DPW. But we get copied and we prepare the draft response. In between,
you as
the Stanley consultants. Yeah. And in between us is the program manager, like the next level of authority, and that would be PTG. We would send our draft response to PTG. They would review it. They would forward it on to the director. We don't generally have direct communication through the director. We have communications through PTG. They're our bosses. And so when he's sending this to Buster, Buster's our boss. And Buster, you know, looking at this, the decision above us has been made at the end. And we only prepare drafts. The answer comes from DPW. And so we're not responsible for answering. We're responsible for preparing a draft. And this letter, this email would indicate, don't prepare the draft, we'll handle it. And since it's their decision, we can only prepare drafts, and it's out of our hands.
Okay, all right. How much longer can we
do? May I just look at my outline? Just
okay.
Last question. Exhibit 38, termination letter. Dated June 10th. July 10th, excuse me.
Yes.
There are no factual basis provided in the termination letter, correct?
I apologize. What?
Exhibit 38. Thank you. Thank you.
No, that's not correct.
Where is the factual basis supporting all of the 4 points?
Those 4 points are the factual basis.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
that's your testimony.
That's
okay.
What I would understand.
Okay. And at that point, I'll take you to Exhibit 42, that your contract is consolidated. Your recollection that the contractor performance analysis was not finalized at the time of termination?
Yes.
And that it was in fact finalized on July 31st, 2015, after the termination?
Yes.
All right, before we go into cross-examination by Mr. Stewart, we're going to take a 10-minute break. We're going to have to ask the witness not to discuss the question.
Yes.
We're going off the record at 10:40.
Back on the record.
Okay. Go ahead.
Attorney Camacho has...
No, get back the time.
Oh,
okay, sorry. Okay, we're back on the record.
It is 10:51 a.m. for the hearing of OPA... for the formal hearing of OPA PA 15009. The hearing officer, Anthony Camacho, had to step out to appear in Superior Court. Otherwise, they would have to send a marshal to drag him out of here. He said, hopefully, it will take no longer than 10 minutes.
Okay, we'll wait.
Hopefully, so.
Okay.
So we will go on break until we hear further from the hearing officer.
Yeah. So we apologize for the notice. I did not receive the call. He did, and he had to leave. And so now we will go off the record again.
10:51 a.m.
Yes, and so...
It is 10:53 a.m. on December 11, 2015. We are continuing the formal hearing of OPA PA 15009.
All right, and Ms. Tanya just finished her direct exam of the witness, Jack Marlowe. Mr. Marlowe, just remind you, so on the oath, obligated to answer your questions truthfully. You understand that?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Keeler, you may begin your cross examination of this witness.
Mr. Marlowe, you had testified, I believe, that you had had over 40 years of experience. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. How many of those would be on highway and road construction projects?
20 years.
When you are assigned a project as a construction manager, what's your objective?
Objective to get the work done. Need the contractor performs the work, gets compensated the way it should. Typically, the contractor to remove the obstacles and finish the job. My objective is to get accomplished per plan, within budget, schedule.
Are there any particular points that you have in reviewing as whether or not a project's going to be able to move forward? You know, such as competency, resources, commitment, something of that nature?
Oh, yeah. When you look at the contract as it's progressing, you look at the contractor has the capability to do the work. You know, does he have the resources, the money, the equipment, the staff, labor, management? So the resources, the competency would be on the quality of the management. Do you have people who know what they're doing and can organize all the different pieces of resources together to accomplish the project, pull the contracts, subcontractors?
And with regards to this particular project, would those items, as far as organization, require, organization with regards to getting the piles, getting the permits, archaeological approvals, precasting, having an engineer, et cetera?
Yes.
I'd like you to take a look at Exhibit 63 that you reviewed yesterday. And that is a construction phasing plan and schedule review, correct? Sorry, do you recognize that?
The October 22nd?
That's correct.
That was the meeting. Exhibit 63 is the meeting notes.
Okay. Was that a submittal for approval?
No.
Just a pre-conference meeting?
Yeah, just for information.
Okay, it didn't require any comments?
No.
After the October 27th, 2014 key submittal or critical submittal, did you have any expectations as far as how the project would proceed?
After the October submittal for the phasing, alternate phasing plan.
Alternate phasing, that's correct.
Yeah.
How did you expect the work and activity to proceed?
As to what they would do?
Yes.
Their plan shows them building a steel bridge or a temporary bridge on the ocean side, and they would get that complete. Then they would install all of the piles for the project, moving from one side of the road to the other with the traffic so they could work on both sides of the road alternately, and then proceed with the demolition on the ocean side, the mountain side, construct that bridge, then switch to the ocean side.
And did you have weekly meetings following that?
Bi-weekly meetings.
Bi-weekly?
Yes.
And did those go well?
Pretty well at the beginning, yeah. No, the problem is okay.
They were cordial and
yeah,
went along well.
Yeah.
Okay. You had stated you had a meeting with Carondo's construction manager in mid-February. Is that correct?
February 19th. Yes.
Okay. And you had the alternate phasing plans with those?
Yes, I had them in the hand for the meeting.
Okay. And could you describe what that transpired at that meeting?
We would look at the plans, look at the road, and visually kind of walk through the different phases of the work, see what was being built, and see how the plant could be built on the ground, see if what the work would be done. So when it showed the work being done, we'd look out in the job site to see how that would be done, how the traffic would go, and so on. So they call it a plan in hand review. So we walk along.
What's it called?
A plan in hand. We take the plan in hand, we walk through and imagine the work being done and see how, from the plan, it relates to the actual reality on the ground.
Okay, and were you able to determine if there were any issues with that?
Yes, there were several issues.
Okay, and what's the name of the Carondos?
Ruel.
Ruel? Did Ruel agree that there were issues?
Yes.
And when we say agree, did he say that the plans possibly weren't complete?
Yes.
Okay. Could you go to, I believe it's exhibit number 2. This is your March 1st, 2015 updating of the log, correct?
Updating of the submittal.
Okay, updating
the submittal. For revising the submittal. Okay.
Right. And on the second page, I don't want you to go through it necessarily in detail, but just tell us what are some of the key components that were discussed with Ruel that, you know, were acknowledged as being deficient.
Clear with the dimensions and layout as to exactly how to build it. We couldn't relate what was on the drawings to what was on the ground and how to install it. We discussed item number 9, and there was a...
That's the five sheets. Indicates abutment. It's
yeah, sheet 5. Yeah, what they were proposing to be done wasn't in accordance with the drawings, and we needed to address that issue. And then on number 10, this is by the end of February, there were several additional submittals, not necessarily part of the alternate construction phasing plan, but were essential for the project and related to the alternate construction phasing plan that we had not seen yet. And so, like number 10A for the revised temporary and permanent relocation plans for the power and water and communications, because they changed the sequencing, we could see that the original drawings for the permanent utility work could be impacted and would need to be revised to correspond to what they intended to do in their alternate construction phasing plan. And they had not submitted any revisions, proposed revisions yet. And those needed to be done before this could be implemented.
When would you have expected those in from the time frame of the October 27th submittal?
In the January-February time frame. Also noted, the key one was C is a temporary shoring plan, and when they start their work and begin their excavation, they have to shore up the edge of the excavation so the traffic on the road won't fall in the hole, because they're excavating right next to the traffic, and so they can't start this work for their plan until they have a shoring plan. And they had not submitted the shoring plan yet. So we discussed that.
When would you have expected that to have been submitted?
About the same time, by February. Then there was a temporary bridge plan. Their alternate construction phasing plan requires the construction of a temporary bridge on the ocean side. That temporary bridge is part of their means and methods. It's their plan. The alternate construction phasing plan isn't a bridge plan. It's only the construction phasing. So essential to making their plan work is having a plan for the bridge. And for contract requirements and public safety, that bridge has to carry construction traffic and the public. So it has to be designed properly and a submittal made for that bridge showing it's designed correctly and by a licensed engineer.
Okay, and what time frame would you have expected that?
Again, by February.
Now, when you did the what you characterized as the plan in hand review, was that for the purposes of hindering the project or facilitating it?
For facilitating.
The purpose was to try to point out items that were needed in order to move forward with construction.
Yes.
Okay. When you prepared when you revised the submittal, the earlier submittal on March 1st, 2015, was that essentially in order to reflect what had been agreed to or discussed in the walkthrough?
Yes.
Okay. Was it intended to disrupt their operations?
No.
Okay. With regards to the submittals, okay, we'll deal with this relatively briefly. Did you ever delete a document?
No.
Okay. So is it correct to say or to reference the terms deletion in your opinion?
No.
Okay. How would you characterize your markings on the submittal log?
A revision or a change in the review status.
Okay. And is the purpose of that just simply to allow the other party, the contractor, to know exactly what is required at a given time?
Yes.
Okay. And again, is that intended as a hindrance or to facilitate?
To facilitate.
Are you aware, and would these, Carando is familiar with these updates. We've seen copies of the emails, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Did they complain?
No.
My notes aren't quite clear. Can you go to the exhibit that would have what activities were originally scheduled to occur in the original plan? The dates, meaning what was going to be happening by a certain date, etc.
You have an exhibit number, Mr. Keenan, because there are lots of exhibits. Kind of a vague...
Understood. It was acknowledged. Ms. Marlowe, are you able to determine it from the index?
Where's the index?
Right there.
The original...
I just happened to turn to Exhibit 9.
Exhibit 9.
I'm not sure if that's one of them. Are you talking about the submittals or...
I believe it is.
The index, just so you know, Mr. Marlowe, that was true. That's on the second page. Carando's exhibit was.
I think what that may have been Mr. Fitzgerald's copy, and he took his exhibit list out. So,
my recollection, if you look at exhibit, are you talking about the proposed dates?
Yes.
62? Oh, mine's all ripped up. Can you make a copy of the index for his binder?
Oh, the index. Yeah.
It's the first color-coded page.
Okay.
Okay. If you could tell us when, and using that as well as the next page, what, and again, I'm not asking you to go through it in detail, but just tell us what key items were provided for, and when you expected to see activity.
We looked down about the middle of that page, under where it says design drawings and procurement stage.
Yes.
It has the second line that says design and approval of temporary access structures. That work said it needed to be done by February 15th. This is Carando's design of their temporary grid. So as I said, that's a January, February time frame for having that work completed. It says that they have 25 days of float for that item. And so by the end of February, if they don't have that submittal turned in for review, if the design isn't complete and they don't have a submittal, that they will be delayed by not turning in a submittal.
Okay. When was the submittal made?
I don't recall when it was first made, but they when the contract was terminated, they still did not have a completed submittal. So we never had a final submittal for that bridge.
And can you describe how critical that was to the project?
Extremely critical. The first part of the work, which is driving the piles, required that bridge to be in place.
Okay. Just can you point out another item or two that you view as critical?
It says procure and delivery of new power poles.
Those ever been provided?
No, they never submitted a shop drawing for the power poles. So before they could procure them, they would need to submit a shop drawing showing what type of poles they were going to put in, specifications. Then once approved, they would need to contract with the poles. They're manufactured in Korea. Then they would have to schedule the manufacturing and ship them.
That's fine. They, Corando subsequently revised their that phase of the project, correct?
Yes.
Would any telephone poles still be required?
Not for their plan. They chose for it underground.
Okay. So there's a reason for having not submitted those at that point.
Yes.
Okay. Under the construction phase, second item says construction survey staking and layout. And that was to be completed by February 5th. Was that done?
No. That's when we met on February 19th. They hadn't completed that work yet. And we were giving them directions on a request for information. And
Now, to be clear, did they submit the request for information?
No, normal course, they do their survey at the beginning of the job and submit the survey data to the Department of Public Works. And they had not performed all their survey and submitted the information, so we met with the surveyor on February 19th to tell him what information was still needed.
Okay, and how long did it take after that for that work to be accomplished?
I believe we obtained some work, the original cross-sections of the area, perhaps in April, May, I'm not quite sure, but I don't believe we ever got all the information.
Thank you. Now, the fifth item talks about clearing and grubbing, and that was to be completed by February 15th. Of course, it had an 80-day float. When did clearing and grubbing occur?
I believe it occurred in the March, April time frame.
Okay. This schedule was subsequently revised, correct?
Yes.
And that would be Exhibit 9?
One of them, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Could you take a look at that, please?
So which exhibit are we
in? 9.
Nine.
Nine.
can you advise us with the new baseline as to what you're expecting as far as project activity? Specifically, if you can go, it's about the fourth page or so, and it's a sheet that's called 1 of 11. You go down to A1100. Do you recognize that yet?
Yes.
Okay. It says EPA permitting and 401 certs. No activity, and it's critical. When you say critical, what does that mean?
That the longer you delay that project, that activity, it delays the completion of the project.
Do you remember when that the GEPA permitting and the 401 certs were accomplished?
No, I don't recall.
Okay, but it was in fact accomplished.
Yes.
Okay, now with the alternate overhead plan, would this have to be revisited? Meaning, if you go underground, are there going to be additional permitting? Are there going to be additional activities required?
Yes, when you go underground, it disturbs the ground different than the original contract did. So we may have to go through additional permitting with possible encroachment in the river or work outside the original area of potential effect. So it could require additional permitting.
And if I'm correct, the Department of Agriculture and the EPA approvals would have been conditional?
Yeah, I'm building it for the plan.
Okay, so if you alter the plan, are those going to have to be revised also?
At least reviewed.
And have you ever been submitted anything for review?
No.
I don't believe I have this one exhibit either. Under the exhibit 10, under my notes from yesterday, I've looked at it, and I don't think that's correct. There's a baseline schedule, and there's a, well, actually, I'm not positive. If you could take a look at that, that'd be fine. I'll then ask you some questions.
Which exhibit?
Exhibit 10. That is not the correct one. You, Ms. Marla, disregard that. Are you familiar with the recovery plan that was discussed yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. And one of the items that the government was looking for was Carondo's commitment as to how to do things, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember them making a commitment to work 7 days a week and in the work area, work 9 hours a day?
Yes.
Okay. Was that right around May 15th, do you recall?
Perhaps, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. When did they start doing that?
Never.
Okay, when did they start working on the weekends?
They did.
Okay. And if you could tell me during the May and June time period what type of activity there was taking place on the project.
They did clearing, and they worked on installing relocating an electric service pedestal for a house power line connection.
And what type of workforce was there out there?
A small crew for digging a hole and doing a bunch of conduits. Fine.
crew, how many vendors is that?
3-4
Okay. Is that the size of a workforce you would expect to move forward on a major project?
No.
Now,
they also were working in their staging area and cast built a concrete casting bed for their casting the bridge deck beams.
Are you aware that in early March, the Director of Public Works had expressed concern with the non-activity?
Yes.
Okay. And there was a March 19th letter prepared, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Can you look at the government's Exhibit D? Actually, it's D and E. D would be the dated and acknowledged letter. Do you recognize that letter?
Yes.
Okay, and did you prepare that letter?
Yes.
Was that in response to the director's direction?